Susan Brown wrote often for Green Prints in our early years. I'm a big fan of her beautiful, poetic, sensitive writing. This Coral Gables Floridian, I really did like her work and ran it as often as I could. This particular story comes from Green Prints number 21 in the spring of 1995, and it's called A Box of Spring.
I have no trouble with the ordinary daydream. I simply draw the shades to darken the room, turn the AC down to colder than cold, and go north through the pages of garden catalogs. According to them, spring will be here soon. You wouldn't know it by the weather here. In Florida, the temperature is like the condo elevator, always up and going higher just when you want it to come down. Weary of year-round semi-tropic heat, my homesick fingers trace silhouettes of tulips, lilacs, lilies of the valley, apple trees, cherry trees, images I've carried around with me into every home away from home we've ever had, trying to incubate thoughts of remembered springs. This morning, I'm deep in such an April daydream when a call comes from the condo office.
204? There's a big box here for you.
A box? What am I expecting? Nothing. I stretch and go downstairs, leaving my mind stuck in the glossy pages of the catalogs. In the mailroom, I heft the box and find it light. Yet guided by a small voice in my head, I ask the mailroom volunteer to stand by. I wonder. This is just a cardboard box. Why do I need a standby? She waits. I split the packing tape. A certain smell escapes, rises, strengthens, sends up a cloud, and the mailroom volunteer claps both hands over her mouth to stifle a cry. Her eyes fill with tears. I step aside. Let her reach into my box.
I smell them.
She says to me.
In there, lilacs. Real lilacs.
She puts her head to the box.
Oh, lilacs, how I miss you. At home in our backyard. Such bushes.
She stops, unable to say more. Disbelieving, I poke my fingers through the box to prove there's something to this smell, something I've been trying to coax from the pages of the catalog upstairs. But the volunteer restrains me and, with great care, takes it upon herself to lift out wet newspaper packing, beneath which we find a soggy T-shirt. Together we unroll the shirt, uncloak bunches of real, tender, fragile, sweet-smelling lilacs, and I cannot breathe in fast enough. The mailroom fills with fragrance from the still-tight petals, some as dark as chocolate, others light as lace. Excited yet cautious, I grub through the cardboard box, longing for more. My itchy fingers touch a piece of styrofoam, pull it out, and find tied to it a wand of pale pink apple blossoms. The sight and smell of them takes my breath away, or rather takes both the condo volunteer and me back into the box, now rushing with sound to shouts of children running to apple trees, to the scrape of shoes against the old tree bark, to the wind in the branches, and to apple blossoms, fruit and all, filling the air, shaking the tree with laughter in some farmyard, backyard, or orchard, or place we both agree is long since gone. Subdivided, paved into a mall, or bombed.
Who sent this box?
Asked the condo volunteer, turning the box around and around.
From where?
She squints at the stamps, all floral, I might add. Iris, lilac, gladiola, marigold. From Oregon.
Far?
Yes, I nod. From my daughter's garden. She knows how much I miss spring. And without a moment's hesitation, I begin to divvy up the lilacs and apple blossoms because they have to be shared. And we each take a bit of earth, of sky, rain, fog, and mist, of the age-old process of vitality that is spring. And the condo volunteer goes down the hall, singing a little tune from her Yugoslavian childhood. And I wander back upstairs to watch my share of lilacs and apple blossoms unfold in the air-conditioned room. In a kind of trance, I sit on the edge of the bed in what becomes to me a square of my daughter's garden. I try to ingest the shape and reality of the blossoms now grown to mythic dimensions, when a tiny yellow worm with a pointy green head emerges from an apple blossom. The whole of him no bigger than a sewing needle. He regards me with an attitude of, "Where am I? What season is this anyway?" Holding up his head, he sniffs the artificial air, then pleats down his minuscule body and with a keen sense of survival, buries himself back in what to him is an apple tree. Aware of his displacement, I offer consolation, and to the lilac and apple blossoms offer thanks to all for coming. They in turn emit wave after wave of brisk spring air, wafting delightful daydreams of other gardens, other times. From the edge of the bed to the four walls surrounding me, space fills with familiar trees and bushes, all fused together with love and understanding, former times and future hope. Certain flowers will always take us home.